Welcome to our guest. God bless you. Wonderful to have you here with us tonight. All right, let's worship the Lord together as she comes.
Praise the Lord. The youth can go ahead and be dismissed. And for everyone else, if we could head in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pastor's putting some pressure on me tonight. But I do believe that God has given me a word for us this evening. And, you know, it's something that you may have heard before. It's something that I believe I've even preached or taught before. But this is one of those things where we always need the reminder. We always need the refreshing, hallelujah, of just passion in our walk with God. And so just bear with me as I communicate this. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm just going to read verse 1, and we'll have you be seated. But it just says, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Praise the Lord. You can go ahead and be seated. So tonight I just want to talk about intercession for all men. Intercession is standing in the gap between man and God for a given situation. It's freeing man from the spiritual forces of darkness that bind him and imploring God to be merciful and to save him. Intercession is prayer with passion and persistence and focus. And it's hard work, and it requires a humble heart. We've got to be willing to submit to the needs and burden of God. And not everyone is called to be an intercessor, but it is the responsibility of every believer to pray intercessory prayers. And there will be times when God gives us a burden. Maybe it's for a lost loved one or a hurting neighbor or a sick friend. It will be your prayer of intercession that will make the difference in that person's life. And when the Lord looked for an intercessor in Ezekiel, he found people at ease. And he said in Ezekiel 22 and 30, he says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. It puzzles the Lord when he can't find people who are willing to become available so that his spirit can work through them. I don't want it to be said of us here in Stewart that he's looking around for someone to stand in the gap for Stewart and he finds no one. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 59 and 16, it says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him and his righteousness it sustained him. God is looking for intercessors. It is not something that is just, you know, extra or on top, hallelujah. Us as Christians, it's important that we understand intercessory prayer, and it's important that we make ourselves willing and available to God, for God to place his burdens and for him to do his will through us. The Spirit wants to make intercession through you. God wants to use you to accomplish his will. And so we just need to decide if we are going to be a willing vessel. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now that's just intercession all wrapped up right there. Hallelujah. That even when we don't know what we need, even if we don't know the words to pray, his Spirit makes intercession for us. And as that happens, God uses us to make intercession for the saints, for others to accomplish his will. Someone once said that groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. In prayer, it's better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. When we are just praying in sincerity and in humility, and we allow God to lead our prayers into His will and what He wants to accomplish, then God can really move. Galatians 4:19, it says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." So, you know, there are times when our prayer or our praise isn't necessarily emotional. And I understand that everyone has different levels of expression, right? But intercession calls for travail. And that word travail is the same word used when a mother gives birth to a child. And I don't know about you, but I don't know of a single mother who has given natural birth in silence and not said anything or not made a cry or had a tear. Again, it's not about the emotional response, but I'm talking about intercession goes beyond just prayer and communication to God. It is when we get the passion and the heart and the love of God in us to pray and to accomplish God's will. And so when you get a true burden, a burden from God for a person or a situation, there's a heaviness, there's an urgency, there is a passion of God to move on their behalf. 2 Kings chapter 19 and 3, it says, "This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." Sometimes God can't use us to intercede because maybe we're too concerned with our own problems. And listen, I'm guilty of it. We go before the Lord and we lay out our list of needs, right? We're so consumed. Our prayers are so consumed with what we need. You know, I know most of us in this place are broke, right? I know that we've got troubles. I know almost everybody, there's at least four people in this building who have had their vehicle break down in the last 6 months. You know, we have needs, right? There are family members that are in the hospital. There are things that are going on in our lives, and God does not neglect that. However, when we can go to God, not just with our needs, but when we can say, "God, it's not about what you can do for me, but God, what can I do for you?" Because when we pray the will of God and we pray intercessory prayers on behalf of others, God will take care of our needs and He will take care of us. Hallelujah. And so we need to go in our prayers beyond a place where we are just, you know, saying, "God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen." Right? We got to go before the Lord and really worship and bring, hallelujah, ourselves to a place where we're humble and we're open to receive what God is wanting us to pray and let Him lead us in our prayer and pursue the kind of relationship, hallelujah, where God can do that. And I read a story about a preacher who was preaching a revival. And, you know, this was years ago when revivals went on for weeks, right? Now when we say we have a revival, it's a Sunday morning preacher and that's it. We probably never see him again. But, you know, a couple years ago they had it where if you had a preacher come in for a revival, he stayed for weeks. He got to know the church people. You had revival Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then you had a break, and then you had Sunday, and you started all over again. But I read a story that there is a preacher and he was preaching a revival, and he visited the home of the deacon there, and his wife sincerely asked the preacher, she said, "Why aren't my sons saved? Their friends are being converted, and I can tell that my boys are interested, but I see no tears or evidence of conviction." She said, "Tell me, why is that?" The preacher said, "Can you handle a little plain talk?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Your boys are dry-eyed because their mother is." Have you ever wept over them or lost sleep praying over their lost condition? And she just humbly said, no, I haven't. And the preacher said, your boys are not saved because you do not have a true burden for them. You're concerned, yes, but you have to pray it into existence. You have to birth it into existence. And so the next morning at the breakfast table, the mother refused to eat. She had walked the floor praying all night for her boys. She had gotten a burden to see their soul saved. The very next night, both of the boys received the Holy Ghost. And they told her, they said, Mother, we heard you when you prayed for us last night. And we are saved in answer to your prayers. Hallelujah. That's the kind of power that we have in God when we pray the will of God. Hallelujah. And I had a lost family member, and as a teenager, I just began to pray and I began to intercede. And it, you know, when it's family, it cuts deep, right? It's close. You have this burden. And so I had this lost family member, and I just began to intercede. And I interceded, and I would just pray, God, whatever it takes. You know how we do sometimes. We get desperate. You're like, if we need to bring it, God, if you need to bring them to rock bottom, or God, if you need to, you know, give them a vision, a dream, or, you know, have an angel appear to them. You know the prayers that we pray when we're really trying to pray for someone. And so I just came to a point where I was just interceding, and it was a long time, and I was just praying, God, I came to the same prayer. He won't listen to me. Send him someone he will listen to. And so I just began to pray that every time I said, God, please just send him someone that he'll listen to. You know, because we sometimes when we're close to people, they don't want to hear it from us. Maybe they've felt judgment, or maybe whatever the case may be, or maybe it's the guilt that you've watched them fall away, or, you know, there's different circumstances. But anyways, I knew that I couldn't reach him, but I knew my prayers could. And so I prayed that, and it was about 2 years, and I was praying that, and I said, God, send somebody that will talk to him. And one day, we had a mutual friend visit from Alabama, somebody out of state, and somebody that was not a part of his daily life. They weren't a part of the local church that we had. And she came, and she only had a few days in town. And so she told him, if you want to see me, you have to come to church because I only have so much time while I'm here. So after 2 years of not stepping foot in the building, he came to church. And when it came to altar call, now this was a God-fearing young woman, somebody who God uses. You know, she's one of those people where she can just pray for you, and she hears directly from God. She'll read your mail, you know. She'll, you know, God just speaks to her in that way. And in that altar call, I'll never forget, I see her walk over, and all, you know, he wasn't praying or nothing. He was standing in the back just being respectful, but, you know, not praying. She goes over and she just speaks in his ear for maybe 30 seconds to a minute. And he just falls to the ground and starts weeping and crying and praying through. Hallelujah. That is the kind of power of intercession. When we get in our heart that we are going to pray until it happens, when we set our mind to something that says, listen, I know my children, I know my lost family members not sitting here now, but they're going to. And I'm going to pray until it happens. I'm going to pray until I see them walk through that door, or I'm going to pray until they get out of that hospital bed, or whatever it takes, whatever the situation is. When we get the heart of God and when we pray with passion and we intercede on the behalf of other people, God can do it. Hallelujah. My dad, just not that long ago, he had a circumstance where he didn't even know it at the time. He slept straight through. But a sister in the church woke up in the middle of the night. Well, she had a dream. She had a dream that my dad wasn't breathing, and it woke her up in the middle of the night. And so she just started to pray. She said, I felt intercession come over me, and she just started to plead the blood, and she just started to pray for my dad. And It was the middle of the night, and she didn't know why, so she didn't call or, you know, do anything like that. At the very same time, my stepmom woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom and noticed that he wasn't breathing. So she called out his name, and he took a deep breath, and he never even woke up. He was just breathing, and he was fine. It wasn't till the next church service, she said, "The other night, the weirdest thing happened. I had a dream," and my stepmom goes, "I woke up and he wasn't breathing, and I called his name and he took a breath." That is the kind of thing that I'm talking about when we, again, are just sensitive to the will and heart of God. Hallelujah. He can work because you never know. You never know. You could be the only person that could make that happen. You could be, your prayers could be the thing that makes the difference in their life or in their situation. And you know what? This is not the day or the hour or the time to become complacent. This isn't, hallelujah, where we can just sit back and say, "Oh no, you know, I know my kids aren't interested, but in time they'll get there." Or, you know, "My family member, I know that they know it in their heart, and you know, it'll come." If we're not praying, it's never going to happen, right? Because it's the only thing that can make that difference. And so the Bible says in Romans 13, 11 and 12, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand." Hallelujah. And so we have to shake off this complacency that just, you know, okay, I'm just going to do my morning prayer, and, you know, I'm just going to pray when I'm at church. But no, getting it in our heart that I'm going to pray the will of God, that we got to wake up and realize that if we want revival to happen, we've got to pray. If we want that outpouring that Pastor's talking about, we've got to pray. And, you know, outreach is amazing and it's effective and it's wonderful, but it is not without prayer. No, it's, you know, we may be able to get our name out there, but we're not going to see that true revival unless it is partnered with prayer. Because 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." We've got to just keep praying. We've got to get in our heart that we're going to pray until the revival comes. We're going to pray until, you know, the pews are full. Hallelujah. And, you know, we've fasted, and I know it's so easy that when we get off a fast, we just slip right back into our old routines. We slip right back into the same place we were before. Hallelujah. But fasting, it breaks up that comfortability, right? We're not comfortable anymore. And so I just want to urge us that we can stay there. We can have this, we can elaborate on that, you know, like when we're not fasting, but let's start praying. Let's keep, hallelujah, up with not being complacent and not being comfortable, and to get bold. Because Matthew 11 and 12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." In the New International Version, it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." Hallelujah. If we want to continue to advance, if we want to continue to see souls saved, if we want to snatch our loved ones out of the grips of hell and all of these things that they're facing and all of these temptations, hallelujah, then we're going to have to do it by force, right? We are going to have to pray until something happens. We've got to overcome our weariness or even maybe our laziness or whatever it is if we want to see that happen. A true revival and outpouring, then we've got to stretch ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a sacrifice, right? It's going to take our time. It's going to take our attention. Hallelujah. But in the end, it will accomplish the will of God. Hallelujah. And if we could stand, you guys know I don't go long, but I pray that we get this in our hearts, and I hope that we can have an opportunity here at this altar to go before the Lord in intercession. But we know that when we pray, and those circumstances, those testimonies that I shared with you, it's not our power, right? It's God's power, but it requires our participation. Hallelujah. And so these things are only going to come forth by our prayers and our intercession, because you may be the only representative of heaven God has on the scene to enforce his will. Hallelujah. And so when we pray, hallelujah, and we allow God to direct our prayers and we allow God to accomplish his will through us, hallelujah, then when we're in need, God's going to take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. And when I know that there's been situations where other people have interceded on my behalf and I felt the power of God enter into that situation and make it change and things happen, and you can just feel, you just know that's the power of God working in this situation. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I just pray that we come down to this altar and we just put our needs, put our burdens down and pick up the burdens of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we just allow God to lead our prayers, and we get something in our heart that says, you know what, I'm going to pray. And you know, he might lay a person on your heart. He may lay a circumstance on your heart. Hallelujah. But I pray that you take it with you. Whatever God is laying on you tonight, that you take it with you and you just pray. And you pray and you pray until that burden is lifted from you. Hallelujah. And so I invite you tonight to come down. Hallelujah. And let's go before the Lord. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Hallelujah.